WTBQ. Hello and welcome to Shannon's Corner. I am Shannon Devereaux Sanford, and I thank you so much for joining us here today on your favorite radio station, WTBQ. And don't forget, we are now 93.5 FM, as well as our very faithful 1110 AM. And I hope you are doing great today. It is a good day to do great. In fact, every day is a good day to do great. And what happened to Whitney Houston? Everybody thinks they remember the day that she died. It was one of those really, oh my gosh, really what happened? And then there was a sort of, well, we're really not that surprised. Why were we not that surprised? What really happened to her? I mean, she truly did have everything. This was not some long disease, some cancerous, horrible thing that got her. What was this? Everybody has their opinion, and most people would say she killed herself. She killed herself through drugs, through destruction. She had too much. She didn't know how to do it or deal with it. But why would we do that? If we have everything we want, why do we self-sabotage? Why do we destroy ourselves? Well, we're going to talk about that today. And it's not just about Whitney Houston. It's about all of us. We all have subconscious loyalties that can either destroy us, or we can get to them and it can make maybe our life better. Certainly uncovering them is important. She didn't. Maybe you will. We are going to talk with my two favorite people in the world, Dr. Judith Shervin and Dr. Jim Skinowski. They have written this new book, What Really Killed Whitney Houston. This is a brilliant book. It is a psychologically brilliant book, which I said on the back, which is true, because I could not put this book down. This didn't have just to do with Whitney Houston, although it's an interesting, she is the one that they're certainly focusing on here, but it has to do with all of us. But the main, well, first I want to welcome Dr. Jim and Dr. Judith to Shannon's Corner. How are you today?
We're good. Hello, Shannon. It's a pleasure to be with you again.
Oh, well, hi, Shannon.
Hi, how you doing? Great to hear you guys. Loved your book. Really love this book because it is really about all of us. I mean, it's that window into the subconscious of why we fail, why we destroy ourselves. And when you read this, all of us have to relate to this to some degree. I mean, we all have things that are hiding behind the veil of ourselves and some perfection. But Whitney Houston, why did you write about Whitney Houston? Did you just absolutely love her and were devastated when this happened?
Well, you know, it's curious, Shannon. I was devastated when it happened, but I was not a fan of hers. I hadn't followed her really at all, except the occasional horrible headline. But when she died, I found myself weeping and in my computer watching the original video footage from when she was on Merv Griffin, before she was even a star, when she was still just an angel, and weeping even more, discovering what she had done on the Super Bowl, and weeping even more. And I said to Jim, her story must hold all that we know to be true, excuse me, about unconscious loyalties.
And Shannon, when we say unconscious loyalties, that's a very tricky phrase, but not really when we unfold it, because all of us grow up making decisions, making commitments, creating attitudes, creating points of view that become unconscious in the sense they become habits. This is when we are older. We'll talk about what happens when we're children, but they become habits. And once they become habits, we stop paying attention to them because they're just automatic. We take them for granted as though they are just how reality is. And then they become unconscious, meaning specifically that we don't pay attention to them anymore. It's like when you drive a car down the street. You don't need to look down at your feet to find the gas pedal and to find the brake. You know where it is. You drive along. And even if we take that a step further, and that is you're driving along, listening to the radio or chatting with somebody in the car, and suddenly you end up where it is that you had intended to go. And if somebody had asked exactly how did you get there, you might not know. You might not remember because it's become so automatic, we just do it. Well, these unconscious loyalties are part of our psychological structure, all of us. And because they are unconscious and because they are not available to us in our daily lives and are still underneath driving things, they become so powerful, mainly because we don't have them at hand. And so they are largely the drivers of what we do.
So they can destroy you like it destroyed Whitney Houston? I mean, you know, when you take a look at her life, what made you think that it was these unconscious loyalties that destroyed her life? Why couldn't it have just been her desire for drugs or, you know, too much of everything? I mean, where's the connection between destroying yourself and having these unconscious loyalties?
Well, Shannon, when you look at her life, she was one of the most sensational singers of all time, five-octave voice, beautiful, physically beautiful, talented. She'd never taken an acting class in her life, and when she did the film with Kevin Costner, she was brilliant, and at one point worth about $240 million. She had everything. Why couldn't she keep it? Well, when you look at the history of her life, she never was able to identify with that stardom. She wasn't able to identify with the new Whitney Houston that was out in the world big time. And instead, what we discovered was that her identity never was able to leave where she came from. And unfortunately, that's the case with so many people who remain unaware of the power of unconscious loyalties. Years ago, I had a client whose mother constantly said to her throughout school, how come you're not as pretty as Priscilla down the street? How come you're not as smart as your cousin? How come you're, and it was always a put down. This woman was brilliant. She, by the time she came to see me, she had had 20 jobs that she was not qualified for. And I want to stress to everybody listening, on paper, she was not qualified for the jobs. She got them. She was sensational for roughly 6 months. Her managers loved her. At the point that she was about to get promoted, she would quit.
So
because
she was
in her unconscious, she was not good enough. It was ingrained.
You know, and Shannon, I'm going to bring this around to some other people. For those of us, for those of your listeners who are old enough, and that doesn't have to be that old, Bill Clinton's escapade in the Oval Office of the White House.
Right.
This man was at the very peak of the of society in the world. What would have driven him to do that?
Right.
And then you have a variety of entertainers and sports people. And there was a governor of New York who was being looked at as, I think his name was
Spitzer. Elliot Spitzer, yeah.
And he was being looked at as presidential material. What would have driven him, just from a purely ambition perspective, why would he not have controlled himself to be able to keep climbing as a politician and make his way toward the presidency? You ask yourself, I mean, what was, and then people attribute it to other things, like, well, it's Satan made me do it, or it's the demons, or it's this or that. But the fact is, something drives these people to do what they do. And when we've done our work, both on ourselves and with our clients, what we see again and again and again is they are more loyal to some idea and some commitment that they've made that is no longer part of their consciousness, no longer part of their daily sense of self, but it's driving them anyway. And in Whitney's case, and there's plenty of evidence for this on YouTube and around, where you can find a lot of this material. Whitney herself said she wanted to be what she called ghetto. I want to be ghetto. And she wasn't ghetto. She was the top of the world. Now, what a lot of people don't know, for example, is that with 19, what year was it for the award?
1989.
Soul Train Awards. She was booed by the audience, and it devastated her because she couldn't fit in the black community. She couldn't totally fit in the white community, although the white community was accepting her more and more. But then the black community where she came from put her down for betraying them. She could never, ever fit anywhere. And underneath it all, what she really, really wanted, according to her own words, was to be identified with the ghetto. And so she ultimately found her way there. And she killed herself, not in a suicidal sense, but she destroyed herself because what she had, believe it or not, was intolerable to her.
That's hard to believe, that it was intolerable to her, because the loyalties, is what you're saying, goes back that she didn't feel she deserved this, and that she wasn't good enough, and there was this huge blind spot about these unconscious loyalties.
No. It's not a matter that she didn't deserve it. That's really, and that she wasn't good enough. She was fabulous enough, and she knew that part. But that's not what was that. That was not the core of what she was after. She was never accepted where she came from. And even when she was in high school, she went to high school, and she wasn't accepted among the females at the high school. She had never been accepted, and what happened to her was she had a gift of a voice, and Clive Davis took her and made her into what she was. And then the community she came from rejected her, and her deepest longing was to belong somewhere. And yet she couldn't.
But to belong to the ghetto. I mean, there was, mm-hmm. she belonged in the white world of superstardom, but her soul was given over to where she came from. And in our book, we detail how even her parents couldn't let go of her and support her success. All of her community clung to her and held on to her, and it kept informing her that she belonged back with them, and that's what she was loyal to.
Well, why should that kill you, though? I mean, why should these deep loyalties be so alien to us? I mean, she had a lot of money. She could have gotten therapy. She could have said, I mean, is this something so driving underneath that we just don't see it? And why would we cover it up so much with drugs? Does it hurt? I mean, nobody wants to not fit in. And we can all understand how sad that is and how that feels. But certainly she could have done something about this. How unconscious are these loyalties? And of course, what I really want to get to for us and our listeners is, do we all have those loyalties? We have to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about how this affects all of us, not just Whitney Houston, because we can still save ourselves. We can't save her, but we can save ourselves. We are talking with Drs. Judith and Jim, and we're talking about their new book, What Really Killed Whitney Houston. We'll be back in just a few on WTBQ.
WTBQ.
Hello and welcome back to Shannon's Corner. I am Shannon Devereaux Sanford, and don't go anywhere because we are talking about a very interesting subject that can affect you. Luckily, it hasn't affected you the way it affected Whitney Houston. We are talking with Drs. Judith and Jim, who have written a wonderful new book, and I really highly recommend reading this book. It'll open your eyes to so many hidden things in all of us. What Really Killed Whitney Houston? How unconscious loyalty destroyed one of the greatest talents of all times, and why it could be happening to you. And before we took a break, we were talking about certainly how she killed herself so quietly and sudden, not even suddenly, just long drawn out and kind of unconsciously did this to herself because she didn't quite feel fabulous enough. And certainly your program about feeling fabulous with a fear of being fabulous, that we have, so many of us have this fear of being fabulous, and clearly she did too. But the unconscious loyalties, what is that? And can that be all of us, that we have these, and do they kind of run our lives in ways we don't know, and could they be destroying ourselves, each of us?
The answer, this quick answer is yes.
Mm.
And let me give you an example out of my own life. And one of the difficulties that I had to deal with in order to become, to get beyond where I was and where I wanted to go. When I was a child, I had one brother. He was 4 years younger, and what I'm about to tell you never happened to him. My father used to say to me and me only, there will be only one genius in this house, and that will be me, meaning him. And my father was the man, was the human being who I had most connection to. And I loved this man deeply as a child. So without signing some kind of formal contract or without even thinking it through, I discovered later, that I had said, okay, you want to be the only genius in the house, that's fine. So I went to a Catholic, sort of a lower class, elementary school. And then my father says to me, go take an exam at this school and see if you can get in. And it was a Jesuit college prep high school. I had never heard of the Jesuits. I had never heard of the idea of college prep. And I was woefully unprepared to take the exam. I went and took the exam and was accepted into the top third of my class, which indicates that I had the stuff to
right,
do it.
Right.
And at the end of my senior year, I was second from last in my senior class.
Wow.
Now, a lot of people would say, Shannon, that was a failure.
Mm-hmm.
And if what you're measuring it against is where I started and where I ended, you can call that a failure. But I had a deeper contract. I use the word contract, but I had a deeper commitment. My commitment was to assure that there would only one be only one genius in the house, and that was my father. And so I did not have internal permission to succeed academically in my own mind, and that was all unconscious. And then I went to college and just barely got through college. And when I finally worked this stuff out, I went on. I got a double majored in philosophy and psychology. This was no walk in the park. And I got a summa cum laude, and then I went and got a PhD, and it was all a piece of cake. Literally, it was so easy. It was total pleasure because there was no difficulty, although there was complexity. So what I'm trying to say, what I learned about myself is underneath what I was doing was a commitment that I had made that had emotional attachment to it that literally was stronger than what I was actually doing in my life. And when I could see that and I broke that connection, then getting an academic excellence was easy. And then I'm not saying I'm a genius, but then the whole idea of there was only one genius was broken, and I could go forward and be the intelligent man that I am.
How do you justify that to yourself of going past your father, though? And that's a big one, because
that's a good point.
That is a crucial question, Shannon. Thank you so much for raising it, because so many people feel like I don't dare be disloyal to where I came from.
Exactly.
And this really is part of Whitney's story as well, as we lay out in the book, that underlying a lot of her behavior was a loyalty that she could not break and that so many people experience. And we talk about the need that people have to come to grips with, yes, I came from this family, yes, I still can love them, but I have to change and, in fact, in some cases, betray what I was taught to be to go forward and have the life I really want.
You know, and along those lines, did you ever see the movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding?
Yes, I did. Yes, love that movie.
Love that. And that's what people say. I love that movie. Mm-hmm. It was a sweet movie, and sweet romantic comedy. But at the very last scene, her father buys the couple a house
right
next door to him.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody sees that as a kind of sweet gift. But there's an implication in there, and I'm not saying the movie people intended it, but there's an implication in there, you can't leave us.
Right,
so
absolutely.
If those two wanted to go somewhere, like move to the next county or the next state or the next country, there would have been a real serious drag on them to do it. That's another little example of how it happens all the time. And there's a cliche, and the cliche is the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Meaning, literally, it doesn't fall far from the tree geographically, but more importantly, it means the apple is going to be just like all the other apples, and it's going to stay near the tree. And there are a lot of historical and psychodynamic reasons for it, but if the people who have an ambition and want to go somewhere have to struggle with getting beyond these barriers that want to keep them back.
But how do we do that and still love the person or the people that raised us? I mean, many people get to that point where they realize they can't get further if they're loyal to those that raised them, that have a certain limit that you can go to. But how do you do that with love? Do we do that with anger? I mean, anger only pulls us back. So how do you do it with love and still move on and not feel guilty?
Well, you need to love the people who raised you for who they are. They have their limitations because they were raised by people who had their limitations. But you can love them and then honor the fact that you are not them. You are separate from them. And to have the life that belongs rightfully to you, you need to make your own independent choices. One of the things that we're really appreciating is people who are reading What Really Killed Whitney Houston and writing to us and saying, you're not only helping me look at my own life, but you're helping me look at how I'm raising my children.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
And I'm realizing I have to give them a lot more freedom to make their own decisions. And that just thrills us, because the more that this book can help people advance in their own lives as well as parents, we are so, so pleased. And it's one of the reasons, Shannon, we've made the book available in every format, which people can learn about at whatreallykilledwhitneyhouston.com.
Okay, and by the way, there's a hot link on Shannon's Corner. If anybody's in the car, just go home, go to Shannon's Corner, and there's a hot link right to the website.
But Shannon, your questions are really, really apt. And I want to say that this is not It's not difficult like breaking rock with a sledgehammer, but it's something that one must commit to. Mm-hmm. And there will be some troubled times in the process because, on the one hand, I have a connection that I'm unaware of, and so I am unconsciously connected. Once I start breaking that connection, things have to change, relationships shift, etc. So as a result. The difficulty of leaving is really, it is difficult, but if you don't do it, you never go anywhere.
If you find yourself, or if our listeners are finding themselves not getting where they need to go and feel like they're always being held back, and they look at their life and they see there's things that just aren't working, and they read this book, can they understand that these things are very unconscious but that are holding them back? How do we recognize that it is something unconscious and not something else?
Well, we give people the concrete information of how the unconscious programming happens. Mm-hmm. So they get a really rich understanding of what is living in the unconscious, and they can trace it back for themselves in their own family heritage and their own upbringing of what is going to be residing in their own unconscious and what they're going to need to take apart and look at and criticize if it doesn't fit with how they want to be living their lives mm-hmm. now. So they don't have to make that up for themselves. They may want to get some help.
What happened? Did we lose them? Well, we did lose them. Judith was right. Well, we only have a few minutes left anyway. I don't know what happened anyway. But let me just tell you, listeners, that this is not only a wonderful book that we really help ourselves. What really killed Whitney Houston is about Whitney Houston, but it's also about ourselves and our unconscious loyalties. And they explain it, but they also say that you can change. And that, to me, is so key, that if you recognize this in yourself, and so many of us have it in so many different ways, that you can change it. You can break away from that, and you can do it with love and acceptance so that you can move on and these things don't have to hold you back, and God forbid they don't have to kill you like it killed Whitney Houston. This is a brilliant psychological book. There is absolutely no question about it. Don't let the title fool you. It's not just about Whitney Houston. It's also about you. What really killed Whitney Houston? How unconscious loyalty destroyed one of the greatest talents of all time. Dr. Judith and Jim, thank you so much for joining us. I know we lost you somewhere, but I'm hopefully you can hear us. And again, the book is on the website. Go to Shannon's Corner and everything's a hot link there. Thank you all for joining us today. And until next time, don't forget to make good choices. Mm-hmm.